The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, this is Brian E. Lau, creator of Staunch Ambition, and you are listening to the PBD Cast by John Orwater. Orlando? Yes, John Orlando.
Ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I'm your host, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 141. I hope that you are all doing well out there. I am doing fantastic. I appreciate all the great comments that people sent my way, either via email or Twitter or Facebook, and they told me how much they enjoyed episode 140, where I sat down and talked to the Brooklyn Brawler. And if you haven't checked out his side projects, please do. Brawler's Corner over on YouTube, subscribe to that channel, and check out over on Amazon or Audible, Brawler Unfiltered. That is the official book, a biography, if you will, of Steve Lombardi, the Brooklyn Brawler. So definitely check those two things out if you haven't done so already. And thank you again for all the great comments and all the great compliments. I appreciate it so very much. But let's talk about this episode. I'm going to be joined on episode number 141 by Dom Riggio, the man behind Mess Bucket Comics. Now, for you avid listeners, you probably remember that Dom joined me on episode 118 this past May and was talking about a lot of his different projects, and we kind of just touched a little bit on the topic that we're going to talk a lot about in this episode, that being Dom's hockey comic book, Donnybrook. Dom played a pretty high level of youth hockey in Michigan. And while doing that, you know, he ran into quite a few players who have some really weird rituals, superstitions, whatever you want to call them. And, you know, I think you find that in whatever sport, by the way. If you play, you know, softball, or if you play basketball, or if you're a golfer, you know, you fall into these rituals, these superstitions. Although hockey players sometimes have the weirdest ones, and Dom's going to share some of those stories. I actually will share one on the other side of our conversation, because there was a goaltender that I played rec league hockey with that had quite an interesting superstition. So I'll share that on the other side of our conversation. But we're also going to talk about The Arcane Awakening, which is a graphic novel that Dom has put out, as well as Motown Mojo Live, the Echo Network. He's got a lot of things going on, and so it's going to be a fun conversation. So with that, let me get right on into thanking our sponsor for this episode, and that, of course, is Audible. Ladies and gentlemen, get your free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/PVDcast. As you know, Audible has over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And for you, the listeners of the PVDcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Since we're going to talk about hockey here, maybe you want to check out Mr. Hockey, written by Gordie Howe and narrated by Don Hagen. And they have it in their catalog. They have a ton of hockey books, ladies and gentlemen. So that's certainly one thing you don't have to worry about with Audible. Their selection, as I mentioned, is massive. So to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Again, that's audibletrial.com/PVDcast for your free audiobook. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to talk to Dom Riggio about his hockey comic, Donnybrook. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another installment of the PVD Cast, sitting down via Skype with the man behind Mess Bucket Comics, Mr. Dom Riggio. Dom, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you, John?
I'm doing well. Do the holidays treat you well?
Yes, very good. It was freezing here, absolutely insanely cold. Like it was like Hoth here. I'm sure it was where you were too, and it still is right now, but it was relaxing for once. I didn't have to do too much family stuff. It was great. How about you?
You know, just visiting friends and family, and it was very low key and very uneventful, and that's a good thing.
I like it. Yeah. Yep, I'll do that every year.
Exactly. Well, you were on in May and talking about many of the projects that you had coming up, and one of those projects is out now, and that is, of course, the comic book referred to as Donnybrook. So it's based on your hockey career, so why don't you tell us a little bit about the book?
Yeah, it's actually it's based on my career. I played up to junior A, but also my friend Ryan Craig, we co-wrote it. He played what level did he go up to? I think I want to say AHL, IHL, somewhere in there, semi-pro. So you know, we played men's league here in Detroit together. He's a great guy, very talented guy too, and he's a good storyteller. So you know, sitting around after a couple skates, we're deciding, like, man, this would be, you know, we could make a hockey story that's like funny and have all the elements that we want, but it could be like a soap opera. It could keep going and players can get traded, get called up to the show, or they can retire, come back as coaches, get injured. There's a lot of different things we can do with interchanging people. So I think the first step was a comic book, and I'm very happy with it so far.
And issue one is out, correct?
Yes. Yeah, it's called Donnybrook Season 1, Book 1. So I'm going to put them out like seasons. And then at the end of the season, it's like the whole story arc. And Season 2 comes out. There's going to be new players on the team. You know, that might, some of the teams might get bought out by owners and have a corporate name and piss off the fan base. You know, I'm going all kinds of directions.
Is it an all-ages book? Because I've been in a few hockey locker rooms, men's league, and I know sometimes there's some shenanigans that go on. Is it family friendly or is it more maybe PG-13?
No, I would say rated R at the minimum. yes, there's the first book has male nudity, you know, in the locker room. very important scene. Lots of swearing, drinking, for children to enjoy. it's authentic. It had to be rated R. You know, just the crazy personalities that I've run into. The male nudity. I mean, there's a character called Jimmy G. You have to look at his dick before he goes on the ice. Everyone has to. It was important. Otherwise, he would go on the ice. And the coaches got involved, too, and would get mad at the other players if they're like, I don't want to look at your dick. No, you have to. you can't make that shit up.
No, and that trumps the only story I had that was even remotely wacky because, wow, Dom, you set the bar very high for this podcast. I don't think I can top that.
Hockey players are one of a kind. They're just bizarre and weird and just great all at the same time. It's an acquired taste.
Will there be, because I'm sure that every men's league has these gentlemen, will there be a character that believes this is the NHL?
Oh, yeah. This team is like a fictional minor team.
Okay.
It's not a men's league, but it's called the Michigan Massacre. And they're big rivals, the Ohio Thrill from Sandusky, where Cedar Point is. There's a roller coaster on their jersey. It's close to what you're saying. There's a character, every team will tell you there's always a guy that made the NHL for like a game and played like one shift. And then when he comes back down to the minors, that's all he talks about is the one, you know, back when I was in the NHL, they're like, you were there for one game. And he's always the most annoying guy in the team.
All right. Well, January 12th. Which we're recording this a few days prior to that, but you're going to have a release party. And it's going to be at the Frozen Fish Fiasco. That's a lot of alliteration.
Yes.
It's a fundraiser in conjunction with, is it Roak Beer Brewing?
Roak, yeah.
Roak, okay.
Yep.
So talk a little bit about what is the Frozen Fish Fiasco?
Well, yeah, so this is... this is the first time we're doing this fundraiser for the fiasco. So let me backtrack even further. The Frozen Fish Fiasco was something I started, I believe it was 8 years ago, 8 or 9 years ago. Yeah. It's a charity event at Clark Park in Detroit. Now, Clark Park is this really cool park by the Ambassador Bridge. They have the last outdoor full-size hockey rink in Detroit or Metro Detroit. And I didn't even know that there was no outdoor rinks left. I think that's terrible. You learn to play outside on the pond and in the elements, makes you a better player, toughens you up. And having this to be the last place in such a cool area, it's right in Southwest Detroit. And it's, it's like business, hockey rink, business. It's really bizarre. It's like Field of Dreams almost. Like it's just for a hockey rink outside for no reason. But, you know, in other states, Minnesota, Wisconsin, it's not uncommon to have that. But for whatever reason here, it didn't work out that way. So I thought this place was really cool. And I started with a couple men's league games, and it literally blossomed into 13 games over the course of 2 days. We have the alumni Red Wings playing in this thing. Last year or the year before, I was playing against guys like Peter Klima and Darren McCarty and Chris Draper. And, you know, all these guys I would watch on TV. Now I'm playing against them for some reason, but it's all in the name of charity. We've raised over 100K for this park in 8 years. And it's just a lot of fun. And it's a fiasco. We call it the Frozen Fish Fiasco for a reason. I had this stupid mahi-mahi that I caught, and my dad insisted that it would get stuffed and sent back. I caught it in Cancun and sent it back. And so I'm like, Dad, I'm not a fish on the wall kind of guy. I'm not going to put this up on the wall at my house. And he's like, no, yeah, but you've got to have it. I'm like, oh, my God. So it's at my garage for literally like 10 years. And then I was like, you know what? This is the trophy. This stupid thing is the trophy for the people who win the game. They're going to take their whole it was so stupid at first. And now people, they can't wait to get their picture with this beat up, stuffed mahi-mahi. The tails are missing. It's got one eye. It's just a mess. Making it look mean, you know. And but, yeah, so it's great. It's a great event. It's a fiasco for a reason. We have stormtroopers dressed up that are ushering the players in and out. We've got a guy on the organ. All old school organ. We've got people playing. We've got an Irish rock and roll band, like Dropkick Murphys kind of style, called Stone Clover. They're going to be playing their version of the national anthem before the game. We're on Fox Sports Detroit. It's really cool. It's on frozenfishfiasco.com. So on January 12th, what you were referring to, this is a very long explanation. We're having a fundraiser for the Frozen Fish Fiasco, which will also double as my release party for Donnybrook, my comic book. So that's at Rogue Brewery on January 12th. And, you know, I think it was like a dollar or something from my food or drink item goes to the Frozen Fish Fiasco.
Oh, that's awesome. And you'll be there signing editions and whatnot?
Yes, I will definitely be there. I might have Keith Gratcho, the artist, there as well, driving in from Toronto if it's not the apocalypse-type weather coming from Toronto in the middle of January. And some other people, too. You know, a lot of people are saying I'm going to try and make it. Some people in the Detroit hockey community here and stuff like that. And we have two bands playing as well.
Well, that's cool. Can we talk a little bit about Keith? Because he is the artist on the book, and he's worked on some of your other projects, which we'll talk about here in a few moments. How'd you find Keith? Because he's got quite a resume.
Yes. I found Keith in a dumpster. I nursed him back to health. Keith is very, very talented. I enjoy working with him. Hopefully, he says the same thing about me behind my back as well. He came on Arcane number 2. Mm-hmm. He did everything for Arcane number 2, and then as well as Arcane 3, minus the lettering. We get along well. He enjoys the story. We give good I take my adaptation from the script, the comic book form, and we're getting better at it as we go. We're putting books out much faster. He's talented. He's done work with He's worked with Disney. He doesn't want me to say he works for Disney. Big difference, I guess. Who knows? Artists are insane. and Play Along Toys. I think he's won some awards this year for his artwork up in Canada. Keith, and also did Donnybrook this year. This is it's weird. He can do a superhero story. He can also do. He's never done a sports story before. Not many people have. But he's very versatile. He's done, you know, Winnie the Pooh. He's done a greasy hockey story. He's done a superhero story. He adapted a kid's, like some 9-year-old kid's story into a comic book. Very talented individual.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. let's talk just a little bit real quick before we take a break from hockey. As you said, you played junior hockey up to, what'd you say, Tier A?
Junior A. It changes every year, the letters and numbers, but, you know.
So when did you first start playing the sport?
God, hockey's been a part of my life as far back as I can remember. I think I was 6 or 7, which was actually kind of late. Mm-hmm. Kind of late to start playing hockey, but I just, as long as I can remember, I was on the pond and I was in the driveway in the summer and always going to – taking 401 up to Toronto for some kind of tournament or showcase or whatever from age 6 or 7 up to 19 years old, 20, I think I 18 or 19. And then, you know, I went and played football, but it's always been a part of my life. And it's the subculture is something that always, still mystifies me. These people actually exist.
So did your dad get you involved in it, or how you just growing up in Detroit, you were like, I want to do what the Red Wings do?
My parents got me into it. I mean, back then I really didn't, I had all this energy, and then you're like, okay, this kid needs to play a sport or go out and run a marathon or something has to happen with him. He's got all this going on. So hockey was a great way. Parents got me involved.
Okay. And you told me a great story when you were down here at Wizard World that you played in a tournament in Montreal, correct? That was like just off the chain ridiculous. Like, I thought you told me that story.
The Quebec Pee Wee tournament?
Yes, that's it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Can you share that? Would you like to share that with the listeners?
Yeah. Which part did I tell you about the trophy incident?
About how many people were there, how some kids were absolutely like shitting their pants.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a whole, this is a great story. So the Quebec Pee Wee tournament, I think, is like the biggest tournament of any sport anywhere. It has teams from like 109 countries, teams from Japan. The places you didn't even know had hockey, right? And so we're 12 or 13 years old, Pee Wee Major. I don't know what it's called now, but, you know, there's all the best teams from the U.S., Canada, Europe, everywhere. So it's at the Quebec Colisée where the Nordiques used to play. I think they do it. They're at their new rink now. But, you know, at 12 years old, I come out and it's a sold out crowd. There's 32,000 people. I had always heard these stories, but I was like, no, this kid's just exaggerating, trying to make it. And I come out there. I'm like, holy sweet fuck. This place is sold out, hanging from the rafters. I'm like, I couldn't even find my parents. It was just like insane. And a little, you know, 12 years old, a little nervous. Jesus Christ. I had previous to that, I had a game in River Rouge, which is one of the worst places in Detroit. And the only people there was the Zamboni guy, the concessions person, and my mom. You know, that's the difference. So I come out there and, you know, it was like, you can't help but be a little bit intimidated at 12 years old, you know?
Sure.
I mean, so, but it was weird. After the first shift, I forgot that I was playing in a sold out arena. It's really not, you don't see it anymore. But a lot of the kids on the team did not have that same experience. They were freaked out the whole time. And then afterwards, I mean, they go full throttle with this thing. They interview you in between periods, after the game, before the game, like local news. And so our captain, our alternate captain, both alternate captains, both froze on camera, deer in headlights, as soon as they asked them a question. Just like a minute of so I'm like, oh my God. And they're like, we don't have to come back, but we have to interview one person from your team. Otherwise we're showing that we're not showcasing every team and blah, blah, blah. I was like, I'll do it. I went up there and they had to like make me stop, put the camera down. Like, the camera's not on you anymore now. I was flirting with the hostess, you know, the host lady, whatever they're called. And it was just awesome. So another thing I don't think I told you was, it wasn't that tournament. It was the second biggest tournament. It was called the Esso Cup that used to be Esso gas stations.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah. I don't think they have the tournament anymore. It's the same age group, Pee-wee. And if you won the tournament, which we did, I was playing for a team called GPD back then, Don Cherry would come and present the trophy. So he shook all our hands. He was not happy an American team won at all, told us. It was hilarious. Everybody was like mad that he said that. I was laughing. I was like, that's awesome. So he, you know, whatever, it's a trophy. But so the finals, I got finals MVP, right? And so I'm looking at this and you get a nameplate on there. And now I look at the other names on this thing. I'm like, oh my God. Now I wasn't the best player on the ice. I just was that day. Everything I shot, the net went in.
Okay.
It was just like perfect. So for whatever reason, as a defenseman, I was like the leading scorer. It was just, the plans were aligned. You know, there's definitely not, there was four players on the ice that went to the NHL from that game. So obviously I didn't really, I wasn't the best guy on the ice, but I'm looking at the other names on this trophy and you go back like 10 years and it's like at that time there was like, Steve Yzerman was on there and like, Wayne Gretzky was on the damn thing. So I'm like, Dad, we're stealing this, this trophy. My name is on this with all these other guys. So we had about 20 feet left until we got caught. My dad passed it off to me, and then I had it. I was running like Deion Sanders out of the ring, and then but I got caught from behind. And they're like, "Give us a trophy." They were pissed. They wanted to press charges, and then we just literally fled the country. Went back home. But I wish I still had that thing. If I see it somewhere, I'm going to try and steal it again.
I think the statute of limitations is over. So yeah, I mean, you're free to talk about your crime. So
yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's talk about a few other projects you got going on, yeah. Tom. Of course, we mentioned the Arcane Awakening. Maybe for those folks that didn't hear your first appearance on the podcast, could you maybe give a brief summary as to what that book is all about?
Yeah, sure. It's called The Arcane Awakening. It's a graphic novel trilogy. It's X-Men meets Supernatural kind of feel to the story. It was my very first comic that I wrote back in 2012. And every about year and a half, I put out another one. And it's the one last battle between heaven and hell, winner takes earth. I've been selling that at conventions for the past 5 years. I still love it. It's awesome. I'm also very excited to talk about something else other than that property in Donnybrook. But, you know, on my table, I have a big bust of Ravager as his big red demon. He's a cannibal as he consumes people, turns into the demon inspired by my ex-girlfriend. And then there's Mojo. He is a popular good guy, descendant of Jim Morrison, drinks whiskey and speaks in all Doors lyrics. So I took everything that I liked from the comic book genre, the humor, the action, and put in a blender, and out came the Arcane Awakening.
Are you going to be putting out more editions here?
Yes, yes. I don't know what I'm going to do next. I have three properties. I have two of them out right now. I don't know if I'm going to go the Arcane next or my third property, which is my high school stories, going to an all-boys Catholic shirt and tie school, how it's not like school ties at all. It's just a bunch of raving lunatics and just absolute another, like, I'm obsessed with subcultures. I don't know why, but like the subculture and the behavior that occurs when all guys get together in a high school setting, it's just crazy. Those poor teachers and faculty members, we just fuck them around so bad. And I have them all. I wrote them all down. That's tentatively called Jugs, Justice Under God. It's a detention.
Okay. I thought it was a euphemism for boobs. I was going to say, right, now, right. You know.
It's, I like it. I just feel like it may be a little too lowbrow, even for me. I'm going to call for something else. I'm open to people with good ideas for names, so.
Well, there you go. We'll have people tweet you their ideas.
Yes, please okay. do.
Well, one other thing that that you are involved in, or I should say two other things, excuse me, is you have Motown Mojo Live, which is a podcast. And as folks would like to check that out, what could they expect when they tune in?
We're, put it plainly, an entertainment podcast. We've had anyone in entertainment from Detroit and beyond on our show. We've had over 110 bands from the Detroit area, Detroit, Ohio, and Indiana, and a band from Wisconsin. I was like, are you really going to drive that far for our podcast? I don't know if that's worth your time, but they loved it. We've had just about every comic book writer and artist that I know. We've had other artists, you know, sculptors. We've had producers, directors, models. We even had, against my better wishes, a magician, which...
why don't you like magicians?
Oh, they're great for TV, but for radio? For a podcast? Holy shit, you really should see this. You should really see what's going on here. Why don't I have a guy juggle on my podcast and be like, wow, you really should see this? So, you know, it was what it was, but I've had a blast. We've got 120 episodes, something like that. Yep, and we're here at the Echo Network.
Yeah, where can folks check out Motown Mojo Live, by the way?
MotownMojoLive.com or EchoPodcast.com. We just about every single time we have a live performance from one of the bands, you can check them out, listen to it live from 7 to 9 p.m. just about every Monday. And also, most of the bands don't have us a problem streaming it on Facebook Live, their musical performance. Mm-hmm.
And you did mention, too, the Echo Network, which is, of course, a broadcasting and media production company. And recently, you guys got some well-deserved press. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Which one are you talking about? There was a couple.
I don't know if I'll pronounce it correctly. Is it
Chaldean? Chaldean.
Chaldean. Oh, wait a minute. Talk about, how is that Chaldean? How is that?
There's Chaldeans all over the place in the Detroit area. They're from there. I think it's Arabic for Catholic. The Arabic word for Catholic. It's like a race of people. I've gone to school with them. My partner Jay Naylor is Chaldean.
Okay. And, my apologies for butchering that.
Yeah. So we've been doing good. We're in a great area here in downtown Royal Oak. We've got over 25 shows. I just love this. I'm working my tail off so that I can have this as my full-time job. I absolutely love bringing us great shows like yours, John.
Yes, thank you again for hosting it.
People, you know, when they... We syndicate your show, but a lot of people, most of our shows are recorded live in studio. And just to see the sense of satisfaction afterwards, they're so happy. They kind of got to step out, have a good time. And after the show is over, they're so happy and they're still buzzing and talking. I'm like, you guys have to go. We got another show is going to record. I know you're happy, but go. So it's I love doing this. It's a lot of fun. I just have to figure out a ways to make some more money on the network. We got some sponsors coming. We got some more shows. It's going to be a lot more work, but I love it. I'm in. I'm all in.
Excellent. Well, let's talk a little bit. Let's go back to hockey for a minute because off air we were talking about the Red Wings, and I know you're a big Red Wings fan. So what are your thoughts on the season?
Oh, yeah, they're the drizzling shits this year.
What's the problem? Why are they stuck in... What are they in the sixth place in the Atlantic? I believe
they don't have anything. Their defense is since Lidstrom left. I mean, has been abysmal.
Yeah,
they don't have they don't have any scorers. They don't have guys that are playing good defense. They're serving up pizzas right in front of the net. And then they don't have Datsyuk also going off to Russia. We lost some scoring. Datsyuk was a guy that made everybody else better. Mm-hmm. We don't have that on the forwards either. I mean, we got Zetterberg. He's the closest thing we have to it, but he's, you know, he's getting up there, and he doesn't really have any help, to be honest. He's a hell of a player, strong on the puck, but and then their goaltending is average at best, and they're not, and there's the defense isn't going to make the goalies look good. So it's just, I mean, half a dozen of one and six of the other. It's a mess. And it's frustrating because there's 25 years of incredible. I mean, they were like almost for 25 years straight. You could have said put money on the Red Wings. It would seem like a good bet to win the whole thing. You know,
most definitely. So
we got spoiled.
They also, but Anthony Mantha too. He's the leading scorer. He's been out with an injury as well. So I think the injury bug has also bit you guys a little bit too.
Yeah. And it's funny, you know, I don't know what it is, but especially in Detroit, it's a great sports city. Most of the people that go to the games, there aren't transplants. You know, they live here. Nobody's choosing to move to Detroit. You know, you're born here, you usually stay, or whatever. You leave and come back and raise your family here kind of thing. It's a weird, I don't know, but the Lions can go 0-16 and still sell out every game. The Red Wings miss the playoffs one year, get a new stadium, and people just stop showing up. Like, it's crazy.
I noticed that a little bit on the last time I watched the New Year's Eve game against the Penguins, and there was quite a few empty seats. And I just chalked it up to being, hey, it's New Year's Eve, maybe people had plans, whatnot.
That's fine. I mean, they've had a New Year's Eve game, we were talking before, like since I think the 80s or 90s, you know, so it's a little bit of that. Roads were bad, but it's really that the fans are they got so spoiled that if you're not like at the top of the heap, you know, the best team, President's Trophy winner, well, I don't know if I'm going to go. They're not even going to win the whole thing. I'm like, are you serious? Jeez, come on. Bandwagon much? You know,
who do you think's going to go to the Stanley Cup?
Oh God, it's so hard to say. I know you're a Penguins fan,
I
right?
I am, but let's just be honest. they're not playing too well right now either. So,
well, now's the time not to play well. To be honest, that's usually what happens. You know, by the end of the year, I'm sure they're going to be on all 12 cylinders, and they still got a hell of a team. If I had to put money on it, I'd probably put on the Penguins again.
Okay,
to be honest. Okay. They have the experience. They're that good, and they got a superstar. So they have, to me, they have everything they need.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I agree, but I also think Tampa Bay's got a shot too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They're playing awful tough. They're an awful tough team to beat out there in the Atlantic, in the West, man. I think the West is a big toss up.
Yeah, it could be anyone.
It could.
It's not. It's a wild west.
It is. I would have said Edmonton at the beginning of the season, but man, oh man, they have played terrible.
They've had so much talent on their team for 10 plus years. All these number one picks, all this talent, all this scoring, all everything. I don't know. They haven't really had the goaltending, or maybe it's the coaching. I don't know, but the talent's there.
Yeah.
That was like a team I thought Scotty Bowman was going to go there next, because he just goes where all that, you know, he went from Detroit to Chicago, and from Detroit, I forget where he was, at Pittsburgh.
Right. Yeah.
He just kind of like hops around to the hottest area. And I thought he was going to up in Edmonton, but I don't know. Who knows? They have a ton of talent. I don't get it.
I don't either. So, anyways, anything else we overlooked that you wanted to touch base with? Obviously, you know, you're in your office, Mess Bucket Comics. Where will fans be able to see you here in the next few months?
Yeah, we're kind of in the downtime right now. I didn't have any shows. I think my last show was in October, so I feel very rusty. But I know I have a show in Detroit. It's called Astronomicon in Sterling Heights, Michigan. First time show, but I think they're going to get a lot of people there. You'd be surprised at the lineup that they have. For your wrestling fans, they have Now, keep in mind, it's a first-year hotel show. They have Eric Bischoff, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, Booker T, Bruce Pritchard from the Bruce Pritchard podcast. Yeah, Sid Haig from House of a Thousand Corpses in full Captain Spaulding gear.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's February, second weekend in February. The date is escaping me.
Would that be the 9th, 10th, and 11th?
That sounds right. Yeah. That sounds right. Yeah. And then in March, end of March, we're going into full convention. There's one every weekend. I'll be at Motor City Comic Con in May, Indiana Comic Con in, I think it's also May or April. I'll be doing all the usual suspects, New York Comic Con. I think I'm coming down to Ohio a couple times, bring my passport if they let me in there. That place is fucked. No, I'm just kidding. I love Ohio. I have a lot of good friends. It's a good, I like it.
So
where are you at?
So I'm in Columbus.
Columbus, yeah.
C-Bus. So I'm going to ask because the last time that we talked in May, I think the highlight of that conversation was your story about Ric Flair. So I'm going to ask, are you, when you're going to be at this new con in February, what was the name of it again? I'm sorry.
Astronomicon.
While you're there, are you going to target to try to get Eric Bischoff to take a picture with your book? Or
Absolutely. I already have Kevin Nash in my book. I really want to get Bischoff, Scott Hall, and Pritchard.
Okay.
I'm going to see. I'm going to do what I can. Who knows? I heard Bischoff could be kind of a dick.
Well.
But we'll see. Everyone has their own experience.
Okay. Well, good luck on trying to – that would be awesome if you could get Scott Hall.
And and Booker too.
Booker. That's right. There you go.
Yeah. Booker's the man. There's all kinds. Check out the lineup if you're in the area. I mean, it's a first year show, so I don't know if it's worth traveling a long distance, but they really spent, it looks like they spent a lot of money and they weren't really worried if they were going to get it all back this first time.
where is Sterling Heights? Just out of my own geographical curiosity, where's Sterling Heights at in Michigan?
Sterling Heights is about half hour northwest of Detroit. It's out in the suburbs, about 10 minutes or so from the Echo Network, which we're in Royal Oak here.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So what is that, like, 4-hour drive for Columbus? Three?
Yeah, it's about three hours. Three and a half. So
yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go, ladies and gents. If you want, check it out. Dom, anything else that we overlooked here?
If you want more information, check out messbucketcomics.com. Follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at messbucketcomic. We'll see you at an upcoming convention. In the next 2 weeks, you'll be able to buy Donnybrook on messbucketcomics.com. I literally just got mailed like 24 hours ago to me. I just got this thing in my hand, so it'll be on the website following our January 12th funding party. So if you're in the area and you'd like to get your grubby little hands on my comic and have it signed, please check out the funding party at Roke Brewery on January 12th.
And if you're interested in the Frozen Fish Fiasco, that's frozenfishfiasco.com.
That's right. Yep, I can give you all the information. We're a 501c3, so if you'd like to make a donation, it's tax deductible. And this is something that's very near and dear to my heart. If you don't see something you would like to be a sponsor on, I'm a creative guy. I can make shit up and we'll make it work. I know you're a wrestling fan. We have wrestling championship belts for the winner of each team. You know what? I got it right here. People can't see it, but I'll describe it. I forgot to show you this earlier. Check this thing out.
Oh, the red, white, and blue backing. It has red, white, and blue backing, ladies and gentlemen, to it. It is, I like it. It's got two side plates. It has the logo for Mess Bucket Comics. Yeah. It has the Frozen Fish Fiasco logo right dead center. Yeah. What can be described as a golden circle with some wings at the top.
Yeah, like the old winged belt from WWF.
There you go.
The Shawn Michaels belt. But yeah, it kind of remind you of the Apollo Creed Rocky Balboa.
I was just gonna say yes. It does. That's how I was gonna describe it. It's like the Apollo Creed belt.
It's not cheap. Like it's, I think they weigh like 4 or 5 pounds. So like, it's not made with cheap stuff. I found there's actually a company out of Toledo, Ohio. So they are good for something down there.
Hey, no. All right, with that, Dom, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Had a good time.
Thanks. I am going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with Dom Riggio, and boy, I really enjoyed that Don Cherry story. I don't know about you, but for those out there that are listening, don't know who Don Cherry is, he's probably the most colorful character in the world of hockey. Google him. Very opinionated, and oh my goodness, what a story that was. Now, I don't have as weird of a story as Dom shared about some of the, I guess you could say, rituals or superstitions that I've experienced, but there was a goaltender one time, and he was a fill-in for my rec league. The dude showed up, he was pretty young looking, I gotta say he's probably in his early 20s, and he was ready to go. He had all his goaltending gear, and even in his bag he had 2 16-ounce beers. That's right, 2 Natty Lights, man. Drank those before he hit the ice, so there you go. If you needed more evidence that hockey players are weird, there you go. There's a story from yours truly to hopefully solidify that opinion. But enough about that. Let's jump on into where you can get this great podcast. There are 7 different avenues that you can get the PVD cast. Obviously, the first and easiest way is to go to pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly. But it's also available through iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, Pod Paradise, and of course, Dom's great, great podcast network, the Echo Network, ladies and gentlemen. And if you're over there on Google Play or Stitcher or any of those particular platforms, leave a note. Let me know if you like it. You know, give it a thumbs up, if you will. Help the algorithm out a little bit. And let me tell you where you can get in touch with me if you'd like to shoot me an email. It's very simple to do so. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is the email address. You can find me on Twitter @pvdmvp. And you can leave me a note if you'd like. Over on the Facebook page of the PVDcast, that of course being facebook.com/thePVDcast. And if you're over there at the Facebook page, like it please. And tell a friend or two to like it as well. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. So I will chat at each and every one of you later. And until then, stay righteous and stay independent.